Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Ephesians, The Mystery Revealed. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, Praise for Redemption. Our text for this session, it's like taking a sip from a fire hydrant. It is a treasure trove of spiritual truth. Just for a moment, just consider this. In verse 3, God has given unimaginable blessing in Christ. Verse 4, God chose us before the universe was created. Verse 5, God in His pleasure determined that we be adopted. Verse 6, God demonstrated His grace by accepting us. Verse 7, God in His grace shed Christ's blood to forgive. Verse 8, God showered us with wisdom and discretion. Verse 9, God revealed to us the mystery of His eternal plan. Verse 10, God brought everything under Christ's lordship. Verse 11, God gave us an inheritance of eternal blessings. Verse 12, God glorified Himself by bringing us to faith in Christ. Verse 13, God sealed our salvation by the Holy Spirit's presence. In verse 14, God guaranteed our inheritance by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. This passage, these 14 verses, is the motherlode of theology. This is very deep water. Even in Paul's greetings in the first two verses, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you was a Gentile greeting. Charis, peace from God, was a Jewish greeting. Shalom. The theology of the greeting is that God's grace results in peace. Grace erases the penalty of sin. Peace replaces the guilt of sin. In the original language text, these verses 3 through 14 are actually one long sentence describing a Christian's blessing. The apostle began by praising God in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. Paul repeats his praise at the end of each of the major three sections in our text. In verses 6, 12, and 14. We're going to consider the spiritual truth of those three passages. First, we have been chosen by the Father. Verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the spiritual places in Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. He chose us. Who chose us? Well, verse 4 tells us, God the Father. On what basis? Like it or not, verse 5, His good pleasure. Nothing to do with us. His good pleasure. When did He do it? It says in verse 4, before the foundation of the world. And how did He do it? Well, verse 3 tells us, in Christ. So, what was the Father's motivation in choosing us? Love, with the goal of our becoming holy and blameless before Him. That's what verse 4 tells us. Salvation begins with God alone, not with us. He chose us. He predestined us. He adopted us. A sovereign act. The Father chose us before the foundation of the world and predestined us to become adopted by Himself through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In response to that reality, we should only say, as it says in the beginning of verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Second, we've been redeemed by the Son. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. We have redemption. Redemption by means of His blood. Redemption which forgives our sins. Redemption according to His grace. Made known to us the mystery. Revelation of divine truth. We do not discover truth. God reveals it to us. And what is revealed? Well, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Everything is sharpening into focus in Jesus Christ. The subject of all truth is the Lord. Redemption and revelation and inheritance, not fully realized until glory, but identification. His death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. His life and power in Spirit-filled living. His inheritance in the hope of eternal life. As all things in heaven and earth move toward focus in Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of being redeemed from our slavery to sin. A front row seat to revelation of God's eternal plan. And the promise of an inheritance with the Son. This is salvation. How should we respond? Well, verse 12 declares, to the praise of His glory. And then third, we've been sealed by the Spirit. Verses 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, it says. This speaks powerfully to the true scope of God's saving work. We have been chosen by the Father, we've been redeemed by the Son, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What does sealed mean for the believer? Listen, let me tell you. Sealed signifies the completion of a transaction. A sinner has become a saint. A stranger has become a son. The imagery is like the legal completion of a notary seal. Sealed, authenticates something as genuine, like the speaking in tongues at Pentecost. An academic institution will use the school's seal on a transcript of grades. Sealed indicates ownership, like today's copyright laws. Christians are copyrighted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sealed shows protection by some power. From the very moment of salvation, we are eternally secure in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Sealed symbolizes a guarantee, a deposit, or a first installment. It's the assurance that full payment is soon to come. This is a similar image as an engagement ring. A marriage will occur. God is not about to lose what is now His. So He sent His Spirit to seal us and to guarantee that our eternal life is secure. This is salvation. How should we respond? Well, verse 14. To the praise of His glory. Chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. Are you? You answer that question, and you have a great day.